Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna tera vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Om Vishnu Para Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Shtotara Shishimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text 73. Te vayam nodita sarve praja sarge prajeshvaraha anena dhavasta tamasaha shishrikshimo vividitaha rajaha. Te vayam nodita sarve. Te vayam nodita sarve. Praja sarge prajeshvaraha. Praja sarge prajeshvara. Anenadva statamasam. Anenadva statamasam. Shishrikshimo vividita praja. Shishrikshimo vividita praja. Te vayam nodita sarve. Praja sarge prajeshvara. Anena dvasa tatamasam. Shishrikshimo vividita praja. Te vayam nodita sarve. Praja sarge prajeshvara. Anena dvasta tamasam. Shishrikshmo vivida praja. Te vayam nodita sarve. Praja sarge prajeshvara. Anena dvasta tamasam. Shishrikshmo vividida praja. Shikshma Ladies, Devayam Nodita Sarve, Jeshwara, Te, by him, Vayam, all of us, Nodita, ordered, Sarve, all, Praja Sarge, at a time of creating population, Praja Ishvaraha, the controllers of all living entities, Anena, by this, Dvasta tamasa, being freed from all kinds of ignorance. Shishrikshma, we created. Vivida, various kinds of. Praja, living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. Purport. In this verse, we can understand that the various types of living entities were created simultaneously at the very beginning of the creation. The nonsensical Darwinian theory of evolution is not applicable here. It is not that intelligent human beings did not exist millions of years ago. On the contrary, it is understood that the most intelligent creature, Lord Brahma, was first created. Then Lord Brahma created other saintly sages like Marichi, Bhrigu, Atreya, Vasishta, and Lord Shiva. They, in their turn, created different types of bodies according to karma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev told his mother that the living entity gets a particular type of body in accordance with his work, and that this body is decided upon by higher authorities. The higher authorities, as explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are Lord Brahma and all other Prajapatis and Manus. Thus, from the beginning of creation, it can be seen that the first creature is the most intelligent. It is not that so-called modern intelligence has developed by the gradual process of evolution. As stated in Brahmavaivarta Purana, there is a gradual evolutionary process, but it is not the body that is evolving. All the bodily forms are already there. It is the spiritual entity or spiritual spark within the body that is being promoted by the laws of nature under the supervision of the superior authority. We can understand from this verse that from the very beginning of creation, different varieties of living entities were existing. It is not that some of them have become extinct. Everything is there. It is due to our lack of knowledge that we cannot see things in their proper perspective. In this verse, the word dvashta tamasaha is very important, for without being free of ignorance, one cannot control the creation of different types of living entities. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Daiva Netrena, Bodies are awarded under the supervision of superior powers. How can these superior powers control the evolutionary process of the living entity if they are not free from all imperfection? The followers of the Vedic injunctions cannot accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, for it is marred by imperfect knowledge. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shwasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupraya Krishna Vishnupraya Bhakti Vedam Samyanti Namo Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gaura Namrachana Vishyashina Arupashchati Rishtami. Tevayam nodita sarve prajasarge prajashvaraha anenadvashata tamasa shishrikshmo vida praja. When all the prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities. So here is again emphasis on the process of the creation and population of the universe and the various qualification required for that are mentioned herein. Basically, prachetas first of all, as mentioned in the verse itself, they were given a particular process through which they were becoming purified and qualified, as it is mentioned here that a qualification is very much required. I should address with Hare Krishna. So here it is stated that they became, by chanting the prayers in the praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they became freed from all ignorance. And thus they were able to create different types of living entities. So the idea is that before starting a creation, basically they had to become pure. They had to become purified. Because with a contaminated mind, with a contaminated existence, basically, that anybody has, whatever process he undertakes, basically it results in the similar reaction. That means either contaminated in some way or not exactly really sattvic, as we would say. So it depends actually in which mode the person actually is undertaking any particular process, that kind of a result is going to manifest according to the consciousness of the person engaged in a particular work. So when we speak about creation here of the living entities, we know that the scriptures itself, when there is a process of creating a living entity, advise the process of, or the system of a Garbhodana Samskara, which basically purifies the mind of all the contaminations and enables the situation in such a way that it becomes very sattvic, very conducive to invite a particular living entity of the same quality or of the same characteristics. And in that manner, basically the result can be predetermined. So it's a scientific process of creating something that can be actually predetermined. It can be pre-understood by the process itself. But it requires some kind of austerity. It requires tapasya. It requires that purification of the mind. Otherwise, the result, as I said, it's going to be in a different kind of mode. It's going to be contaminated. And the result will end in a particular type of living entity appearing in that particular type of atmosphere. So, in order to create here, it's also mentioned that that kind of austerity is required. That kind of purification is very required. Because then, as we say, the Vedic knowledge is scientific. And every statement basically can be verified in a practical example. So when we discuss the creation, then we can verify that a particular type of consciousness, again, predetermines the particular type of result. As we know in the case of Diti and Kashyapa, where the time was not conducive for the relationship to take place, basically, the result and the consciousness that was involved in that particular moment, that particular passionate desire, which was manifested on the side of Diti, resulted in the appearance of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So in similar way, if the persons are very conscious of, in that particular moment, basically, if they have purified consciousness, then the result will be very much in the mode of a sattva guna, or the mode of even maybe in a higher sense of the higher quality of the shuddha sattva, wherein that particular type of living entity can be kind of invoked in the particular situation to become manifested. So the result of the austerity is very much required in order to create such a situation wherein a pious living entity can appear. As we know, in the case of Vyasadev, when the Kuru dynasty basically became practically almost extinct, Satyavati became very worried, and she summoned Vyasadev, who told her, actually, whenever you think of me, because Vyasadev was her son, whenever you think of me, at that moment I will appear and basically try to fulfill all of your desires, whatever you basically require from me. So the situation was such that Chitrangada, who was ruling the kingdom, was challenged by the person of the same name, Gandharva, who couldn't tolerate somebody else ruling the kingdom and having the same name, and he was killed in the process of fighting. And Vichitravirya, who later on ascended the throne, becoming too much attached to the family affairs and sensual enjoyment, actually was struck with a tuberculosis and died very shortly afterwards. So therefore Kuru dynasty was without any heir, and Satyavati became very worried about the future of the dynasty. Therefore she called Vyasadeva and requested him to come and beget the children in the wives of the kings, basically, who were at that point, as I said, Vichitravirya. He had wives Amba and Ambalika and Ambika. So, actually there were two of them, not the Amba. Amba was not. Yeah? Huh? Amba and Ambalika, yeah. So what was interesting here is that Vyasadeva replied that, I will grant your desire, I will fulfill your request, but actually those princesses, those queens actually, they have to undergo particular process of purification, and they have to become purified in order to beget a very qualified progeny. But then Satyavati argued that actually it's very difficult because it's very urgent time, and we immediately need some heir to the kingdom because it's a dangerous, precocious situation, having a dynasty, having the empire going on without an heir. And therefore Vyasadeva contested, in a sense, saying that, okay, if they can bear me in such a particular condition, that this will be their austerity. And the case was that Vyasadeva actually just came out of the meditation and have been covered by the dirt, have been having a long hair and beard, and being completely, his body was completely neglectful and having a bad odor. And he said, actually, in such a state, if they're able to accept me, then this will be their austerity. This will be counted as their austerity. And then a particular progeny can be born. So the case, we know that the first queen, Ambika, I think she closed her eyes. And as a result, again, of that particular type of consciousness, in a moment of the conception, the Pandu was born who was blind. I'm sorry, Dhritarashtra. And then later on, because Ambika, Ambalika, and she became pale seeing the Vyasadeva in such particular condition, then again Pandu was born with such kind of a complexion, pale complexion. Pandu means pale. So we see that how important actually is the consciousness in the moment of the creation, and therefore here in the verse itself, the emphasis is on that particular consciousness as purification of the mind. Therefore, Prachetas are praying, and due to the process, in the process of this offering the prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that this is something that serves to purify the existence so they can become eligible to perform this particular task that is required for population to manifest. As we know herein, Brahma himself, of course, here the Prachetas were ordered by their father to create the progeny, to recreate the world, as we know, all the Prajapatis as well. But it is very interesting how Brahma, in sense of beginning of the creation, when he was asked by Vishnu to start the creation himself, he was also very worried, because he knew that actually creation means in it kind of entails entanglement and being attracted, and the danger of being attracted to that particular creation may result in a fall down of course, consciousness and being attracted to that particular manifestation. So Brahma requested Lord Vishnu actually to give him a blessing to become kind of immune to that particular creation. Otherwise, you know, he may, of course, become entangled and in this material creation and, of course, suffer the sufferings as all other living entities staying here in the material world experience. So therefore, after being granted that particular boon, then he was engaged in the creation itself. In similar way, we know that four Kumaras refused to obey the order of Lord Brahma to start creating, because they were already a perfect living entity, self-realized living entities, and they didn't want to get entangled in that particular process. Interestingly, somehow or other, again, other Prajapatis, it is said interesting how Krishna actually engages the desires of all of the living entities in his particular service, because the process of creation is very much necessary in order to give other living entities a chance to perfect themselves in this material world. Because we know that the body, actually, especially when the living entity comes to the point of having a human form of the body, is such a conducive position, is such a conducive, actually, form wherein living entity can spiritually advance. So the whole idea of the creation and enabling living entities to fulfill their desires and realize ultimately futility of this material world is come to the level, gradually advance to the level of the human form of the life wherein they can get that opportunity of advancing further spiritually and purifying their consciousness in order to understand their position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between them. So therefore, creation is very much necessary. Like often we are asked, say, if everybody in the world becomes Krishna conscious, you know, then how will the world carry on? What will be there? Who will be there in the world to carry on this manifestation, everything? So that of course, we understand that there are so many innumerable living entities that come to this material world with the particular desires, and they take particular forms and shapes and bodies according to their karma and desire itself again, so that there won't be any lack in carrying on this material manifestation. And whichever number again of the living entities becomes liberated, it just doesn't make a big difference again, because it's like kind of a constant transit between the living entities from spiritual to material world and vice versa. So that creation and that impetus or the nature in the living entities to create is present there. It comes along with the material body itself. So everybody has that particular impetus, but many people have an opportunity, or some people have opportunity to utilize it in a different kind of to manifest it in a different ways, to create in a different ways, to be kind of a more, either in a spiritual way, definitely kind of on the subtle level or even spiritual level, to utilize that propensity in a different kind of more spiritually constructive ways. But the propensity is there. It exists within everyone, each and every one of us. So for those living entities who are ordered, like in this case we see Prajapatis, they also, Krishna is utilizing their desire in the service of practically all the living entities and in the service of Krishna, because we know ultimately living entities want to fulfill their desires, and there is particular requirements that is needed to fulfill those particular desires, and that entails the material body. So material bodies are very much necessary. So therefore Prajapatis and other entities, of course, later on they engage in different kind of reproductory ways to enable appearance of the different living entities in a different types of bodies. So interesting is that Narada Muni, also of course here, Prachetas, they later on we will see in Srimad Bhagavatam, again in the following chapters, is going to be described how the Prachetas actually became completely forgot the instructions given by Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, because they became entangled in the family affairs. And therefore they became very much kind of ignorant about the ultimate aim of life. Therefore Narada Muni came and reminded them of the goal of the human existence. And therefore, of course, they achieved the perfection. So carrying on such task, actually it's very, as I said, even Brahma initially, he was very much afraid because he knew what entanglement in the material affairs means. But there is another example of King Priyavrata, who was the son of Svayambhuva Manu, who actually agreed again to perform the task of procreating, and because he was taking the full shelter of the instructions, of spiritual instructions, he didn't become entangled, he didn't become degraded, he didn't become attached to such kind of family affairs, and therefore he was able to perform the duty without any hindrance. So there are different, like Haryashvas also, when they achieved, of course, that's a different example. Haryashvas, when they achieved perfection ordered by Daksha, because Daksha is another progenitor, Prajapati, they achieved perfection, and Narada Muni thought why they should waste their such a wonderful opportunity of the human life wherein they already have achieved the perfection. Why they should waste this particular blessing that they have achieved already, just getting again entangled in the material affairs. So he thought that it is more conducive to instruct them on the spiritual path, so they can go directly back home, back to Godhead. Because we know how difficult it is for living entities to come to the from the material level to the spiritual level. Manushya nam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddha yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Krishna says it's very rare that any living entity first of all starts inquiring about spiritual life, and what to speak again, to knowing, and afterwards surrendering ultimately to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to knowing the essence of the spiritual instructions. So it is very rare, and therefore it is a great task, and it's a great challenge actually to being requested in such a way to, while already achieving some particular perfection, to carry on the instruction of the superiors in such a way. So it's a great challenge, and therefore only those who are really absolutely qualified can get entangled in such an affairs without again being contaminated by the association of the family affairs. So it's something that it's a very challenging thing, because expansion basically in any way in a material life means attraction, means entanglement. And the whole process of spiritual life means disentanglement from anything material and attachment towards spiritual. So it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada here in the purport himself, he explains this process of the creation and points out that it's different from the one explained by the modern anthropologists like a Darwin. And he explains that actually the manifestation of the human form and the origin of the human and other living entities is different from the one that has been proposed through the Darwinian theory itself. And of course we know that principle or the idea of evolution, it is there in the Vedic scriptures, of course, but it's not a mechanical like it is presented in the materialistic theory. It has a different basics. Srila Prabhupada says that the living entities already, that all the living entities who were created actually existed initially in the beginning. And it's not that some living entities become extinct. That's something that would serve as evidence for the theory, the Darwinian theory. So all the living entities already still exist, although it may appear that they're not present at a particular time, at a particular moment. But all the living entities throughout the universe, they're still existing in the original form. So it's not that some particular entity mutates, changes the form, and then kind of starts existing in some kind of a different material form. That this is not the case. Interestingly, Prabhupada calls this Darwinian theory nonsensical theory. So Prabhupada mentions that actually the living entity who are born into the mode of goodness actually have existed in their previous life in the form of a cow. And the living entities who have predominantly present mode of passion that actually had a form of a lion, and the ones mostly predominantly the mode of ignorance that actually had a form of a monkey. So he said that also those who considered themselves to be descendants of the monkeys, actually, like the modern anthropologists, like a Darwin, they must have descended from such kind of a ignorant or a tamasic form of the monkeys, and there were monkeys in their previous lives. So Prabhupada said that the monkeys is very fond of the sex life, and he gives the example, very interesting, how and compares this to the advancement of the modern civilization, how actually people, when they become old age and unable to gratify their senses, that they, scientists have imported the monkeys from Africa to Europe in order to utilize their glands and inject them in the human being so that they can enjoy the further propensities of such kind of activities. So Srila Prabhupada said, so see, just this is the advancement of the modern civilization. This is actually what they're interested in. So that propensity of indulging in the sexual relationship, it's actually the tendencies of the monkeys. So this is something that we are discussing here. It's about procreation. So if it's just based on the level of the sense enjoyment without any higher aim, then definitely it's the propensity of the... It's a kind of a monkey propensity of the lower kind of consciousness of the living entity. And he says that the modern aristocracy is just basically interested in such kind of activities to increase their family members through the sensual activities. So Prabhupada said this is the monkey business. It's the business of the monkeys. And we know, interestingly, if we see in the Darwin's life himself, he married his niece, actually, and because we understand that basically in the relatives are not, according to Vedic principles, that the marriage shouldn't take place because the blood becomes contaminated. And being interested in such kind of procreation. Darwin himself, he considered to be, of course, according to the theory of evolution itself, he considered himself to be very very advanced on the evolutionary level, to be very highly developed human being. And therefore, in order not to pollute such kind of a aristocratic position, he married his niece to perpetuate such kind of aristocratic position of his family. The level, evolutionary level. So, but what was the result? He had, of course, he engaged in such kind of propensities. He had, I think, more than 10 children. But all of them basically were ill throughout most of their lives. Or, as I said, because of that impure connection. Or they were born retarded, mentally retarded. So basically, practically none of them was a normal human being. They all had difficulties. So this is that propensity, monkey propensity, as Prabhupada is pointing out. This is that those people who are the descendants, who consider themselves descendants of the monkeys, they're just engaged and concerned with such kind of animal propensities. So here, also it's interesting to know that Prabhupada is speaking about that creation taking place, that it actually requires the govern of some higher intelligence, some higher beings, that it's not such any kind of random genetic mutation. It's going to be a little technical part here. Hope be able to wake you up, able to follow. But the point is something that is explained in the Drutakarma Prabhu's book, devolution, human devolution, wherein he gives the alternative proposition of how actually the living life, the living entity, the life actually emerges, and how the human existence comes into the being. It's not something that the particular cell evolves in a particular way, but that there is some higher principles involved, and then it contains more subtle and even spiritual principle. Because what we understand from the process of evolution presented by the modern anthropologists is that particular cell actually mutates to the particular level and then creates. It's a reproduction with modification. But actually they can't explain where the modification takes place. Because Uttakarma Prabhu explains the principle of the DNA code that exists within each and every cell is that it's same from the point of the conception till the practically whole body is created, and even afterwards. That particular code is the same and it doesn't change. It's always the same. So he points out, how can scientists actually claim that any particular modification takes place, because the DNA is same. And how the particular cells combine together, how they form particular organ together, and how that particular organ functions, that is unexplainable. Because it's interesting that the DNA remains the same. So it's the same cell. So how can cell, where is the information, how can the cell know and understand, you know, to create some kind of a, combining with other cell to create some kind of an organ? How can a cell of an eye become an eye cell? How can a cell and another cell combine together and create a bone cell? Or a kidney cell? Cells combining together, creating kidney and making it function in such a particular way. So where is that particular code? Where is that particular information? This is what Uttakarma explains, that scientists and biology is unable to explain. They can't, because interesting thing as well is that even in the process of the modification, say like some particular types of mutations take place, but there can go only up to a particular level. Mutations can take place and growth of a particular living entity like plants or animals, you can breed them only to the particular level. You can't breed them unlimitedly because they become sterile and they're unable to reproduce. So you have modification, but you don't have reproduction. And if you have reproduction, again, in other sense, he's pointing out, you don't have that modification. So they're unable to explain where all these different types of living entities and how their different living types of living entities appears, which is presented here in the verse itself. Thus, they were able to create different types of living entities. So how that process takes place? It's unexplainable, basically, by the scientists. So then what he does, he gives the alternative. He first of all points out the defect in their theory, because they can't, like for example, if you would have a radio and you try to transform it into TV, how is it possible? It requires very, very high intelligence, some very skilled engineering, and the whole process is that it has to take place while the process is running. So that's even something that makes things even more difficult. You have a living entity already present and living and growing, and then modification takes place during such kind of a process. So it's something that it's very difficult to reproduce. Or he gives an example of a person without eye. So just by using particular genetic code, let a scientist produce an eye. They have a genetic code, so let them produce an eye which will become adaptable to the particular situations and a particular environment. And the biologists, they themselves admit, it's impossible. It's impossible to reproduce. So therefore he points out that there is an alternative idea, of course, in that case, if they're ready to hear, because they don't have the solution, that actually the creation takes place from the higher principle of the highest intelligence down to the lower, from the point of the spiritual and then subtle and then the material. And then he explains before trying to explain what a human life is, he tries to explain what a human being is. And he points out that human being consists not only of the matter, but also of the subtle materials or subtle forms, we know that includes mind, intelligence and ego, and then a spirit or consciousness as well. And he explains that actually creation that takes place in the material world comes from the original spiritual, and then which is manifested through subtle and then through the gross manifestation. He points out that actually even in different traditions and religions that there is that particular concept of the terrestrial realm, of the heavenly and the spiritual realm. And therefore such concepts have existed in the past. And that there is that system of a concept of the mental seed involved. That the mutation actually, or modification takes place along with when you have a particular code. Because DNA, what it actually means, it's just an information, it's a code for creating the proteins and the cells. And then you require some additional information which comes with that principle of the seed, intelligent seed, mental seed, which is required to carry on the process further on, because otherwise it's not possible to have any particular modification. I know it's a little technical, but that's what creation actually it's all about. So if you can still bear for a few more minutes, I'll try to explain what Ruta Karma Prabhu is pointing out. Because that's the process of the creation, and of course if we are challenged in some ways, you know, how we can speak about this different principle, that at least we have to have some idea which is there mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. Because Krishna himself says, Bijam am sarva bhutanam. I'm giving the seed. I'm the seed. I'm the seed giving father. Sarva yoni shukantya. And therefore when the creation takes place, when Mahavishnu injects the living entity, he injects as well with them themselves that particular subtle, it's a mental seed as well, which accompanies the living entities in a form of karmic destiny. It's a very subtle thing. It works on the process within each and every individual living entity. So that particular information then enables different kind of living entities to appear. Like when the creation takes place, I'll just skip it for some time because time is running and everybody is like kind of tough to follow. Anyway, so the basic idea is that the demigods initially, from the spiritual form, when the subtle manifestation takes place, and demigods, they have more of the subtle bodies. And we know that the principle of the subtle, it has the influence of the gross matter, then the demigods are capable of assuming different forms. That how different living entities are assuming different forms is that the demigods themselves, they're capable of changing the form in their subtle manifestation. Like we understand, there was a case of the sage who took a form of a deer, and then Pandu, when they were engaged in a sexual relationship, then Pandu shot the deer, mistaking him to be a deer itself, but actually it was a sage. So sages and the higher living entities are capable of assuming different kinds of forms. Hanuman was born because Lord Shiva and Parvati were playing in the form of the monkeys, and of course this Lord Shiva's seed was carried on later on by the Vayu. But this is how Hanuman in the form of the monkey actually was manifested. So they have that potency of changing the form and utilizing that particular seed information into creation of another living entity. And then the reproduction in that particular form can take place in a kind of a normal material level, so to say, understandable from a materialistic point of view. But that information is required, otherwise actually it's impossible to have these different kind of varieties of the living entities. So along with a particular code that is there within the DNA, which is there in the genes, there has to be some particular information. Otherwise it's impossible to get that variety that Srila Prabhupada is speaking here. And for that to manifest, it's not just enough to have some kind of a mechanical process, like a computer, and some kind of a software wherein you can be engaged in a virtual reality, get into it, but you have to have a controller basically behind it who is manipulating this particular process as well. And therefore here it said, Srila Prabhupada says that those demigods or the Prajapatis have become qualified to govern and rule such kind of a modifications, that they are purified, as we are understanding by this particular verse. They became purified, and they've purified their existence and achieved that particular perfection of being capable of guiding other living entities and manipulating that particular manifestation of the different kinds of living beings. Otherwise, it's impossible. So that is something that is required. Otherwise, the appearance of different kind of entities won't take place. And Druta Karma Prabhu suggests that there is that level of the matter which scientist accepts. And then there is the mind level. And there is that concept of the mind, which is also there. And then there is the concept of the consciousness, or the spirit soul. And he proves each and every of these particular concepts. That the conscious, of course, matter, everybody accepts. Then the level of the consciousness or awareness that is there. He gives the example of NOD and out-of-body experiences and past life memories. And then the concept of the mind, he says that even scientists themselves were very highly involved in the research of the different kinds of paranormal phenomena. That particular, initially, the Alfred Russel Wallace, he was the co-founder of the Darwinian theory of evolution. Interestingly, he was also involved in the paranormal phenomena, wherein different kinds of people, and anyway, he had different kind of scientific qualification himself. He was a member of Royal Society, which was the most prestigious scientific institution at the time, and was co-working with a particular scientist, Crookes, who was a Nobel Prize winner. And actually, they were highly regarded as very respected personalities. But the point is that they were involved in the paranormal phenomena, which is not recognized by the modern science itself. Sadaputta Prabhu explains that it's impossible by the physical laws to explain all the natural phenomena. It's impossible. No scientist can do this nowadays. So therefore, they have to consider some other alternative as well. They have to go beyond that particular limit of just considering everything on the material gross level. They have to go higher in order to understand really in a deeper level what's going on and how this particular creation takes place. So he gives different examples of the paranormal things, people levitating, people even themselves being able to create subtle forms. He just gives simple example as well, also like a wind can create the waves, because wind is more subtle than the water. So the subtle can influence the gross. He gives examples of the people meditating, just basically focusing, getting into trance and moving material stuff like chairs or the tables. He gives a lot of different kinds of examples by which he proves that actually there is that mind element, and how even from the subtle contemplation and the subtle power of the mind can create even gross material things. He gives a different example of a person who broke his leg and which was replaced after 8 years, was supposed to be amputated, and the bone was missing. And then particular person went to the Lord, praying to the Mother Mary, and somehow or other some mystical things happened, and that particular part of the bone was replaced by the absolutely new component of the bone, which is materialized. And how it happened, they're unable to explain. And anyway, there are so many examples, different kinds of examples, how materialization can take place just from the subtle point, from the element of the mind. So the whole point here, ultimately in this verse, anyway, I won't go into details because I know it's technical, it's tough to follow. But it's very interesting if you read Druta Karma Prabhu's, if you have little time, if somebody would have literally some kind of a interest in the explanation of the origin of the human being, and the process of this devolution, how actually everything comes not from the something primitive and evolving into something complex, but the process is absolutely, it's utterly reverse, coming from something intelligent, and actually the degradation takes place in many different kinds of levels. So that's what Srila Prabhupada says, that here the living entities of the Prajapatis, they're very highly qualified living entities, and they have that propensity and engaging in that propensity of procreation in the service of Krishna. But they're not just on the level of the Darwinian kind of idea of the reproduction without any kind of higher sense and the purpose. But they're utilizing this propensity for the benefit of other living entities to advance in a spiritual manner, to utilize their
particular opportunities in a different kind of bodies to spiritually advance. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is what is the actually meaning and purpose of the Prajapatis here, to become qualified and govern that process of creation. So Hare Krishna, I hope you got something. We were able to understand something about the spiritual or the human devolution. So are there any questions or the comments? Yeah, Hare Krishna. That's right.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
You talk about science and love. In a scientific, from the scientific point of view, is there any reason of manifestation? What is the cause of manifestation?
No, everything is by random chance. There is no reason for the material creation and manifestation. Everything is explained by the random chance of events. It's all random.
Thank you.
Yeah. There is no purpose behind. Yeah. Okay, two more minutes. Okay, two more minutes, quickly. Hare Krishna.